That's where I try to stay already.
Well, yesterday we studied Sue. Start it back where we were yesterday, Ecclesiastes 7. I still can't hear, so if I ignore you, it's a good excuse.
He's just imitating me.
Verse 26. And I find, is everybody there? Except Glenn?
I'm there.
Ecclesiastes 7, chapter 7, verse 26. And I find more bitter than death the woman, whose heart is snares and nets, and her hands as bands. Whoso pleaseth God shall escape from her, but the sinner shall be taken by her. Now, this really isn't about Sue. It may appear to be about Sue, but it's about Babylon. It's about the whore. And the whore first starts appearing very early in the scriptures. In the first place, as this type of what happens and what the ensnarement happens. So let's go to Genesis 38. Everybody remember who Tamar was, the daughter-in-law of Judah. All the promises of God all go through Judah. Remember? The bloodline, in order for Messiah to be Messiah, he had to be of the seed of Judah. And that's why all the genealogies are in the Bible. And so now, and Judah is like, you know, one of the fathers of faith. And so Judah, I mean, this Tamra, go to verse 11. Then said Judah to Tamar, his daughter-in-law, remain a widow at thy father's house till Shelah, my son, be grown. For he said, lest peradventure he die also, as his brother did. And Tamar went and dwelt in her father's house. And in the process of time, the daughter of Shua, Judah's wife, died. And Judah was comforted and went up into his sheep shears to Timnath, he and his friend Hirah, the Adullamite. And it was told Tamar, saying, behold, thy father-in-law goeth up to Timnath to shear his sheep. And she put her widow's garments off from her and covered her with a veil, and wrapped herself, and sat in an open place, which is by the way to Timnath. For she saw that Shelah was grown, and she was not given unto him to wife. And when Judah saw her, he thought her to be a harlot, because she had covered her face. And he turned unto her by the way, and said, go to, I pray thee, let me come in unto thee. for he knew not that she was his daughter-in-law. And she said, What wilt thou give me, that thou mayest come in unto me? And he said, I will send thee a kid from the flock. And she said, What wilt thou give me? Wilt thou give me a pledge till thou send it? And he said, What pledge shall I give thee? And she said, Thy signet and thy bracelets and thy staff that is in thine hand. And he gave it to her and came in unto her, and she conceived by him. And she arose and went away and laid by her veil from her, and put on the garments of her widowhood. And Judah sent the kid by the hand of his friend, the Adullamite, to receive his pledge from the woman's hand, but he found her not. Then he asked the man of that place, saying, Where is the harlot that was openly by the wayside? And they said, There was no harlot in this place. And he returned to Judah and said, I cannot find her. And also the men of the place said that there was no harlot in that place. And Judah said, Let her take it to her, lest we be ashamed. Behold, I sent this kid, and thou hast not found her. And it came to pass about 3 months after that it was told Judah, saying, Tamar, thy daughter-in-law, hath played the harlot. And also, behold, she is with child by thy whoredom. And Judah said, Bring her forth, and let her be burnt. When she was brought forth, she sent to her father-in-law, saying, By the man whose these are, I am with child. And she said, Discern, I pray thee, whose are these, the signet and the bracelets and the staff? And Judah acknowledged them and said, She hath been more righteous than I, because that I gave her not to Shelah, my son, and he knew her again no more. And she, Tamar, brought forth twins. It came to pass in the time of her travail that behold, twins were in her womb. And it came to pass when she travailed that one put out his hand, and the midwife took and bound upon his hand a scarlet thread, saying, This came up first. And it came to pass, as he drew back his hand, that behold, his brother came out. And she said, How hast thou broken forth? This breach be upon thee. Therefore his name was called Phares, and afterward came out his brother. And that scarlet thread upon his hand, and his name was called Zerah. Now what does all this mean?
Sounds like a figuring of Jacob and Esau, and it's a picture of us being children of the whore.
Amen.
It's inconvenient.
And it's the whole idea. Let me read with this what we just read in mind. It's that verse back to the completion of that verse about the woman whose heart is as snares and nets, because she catches her victims both on the sea and the dry land, and her hands are she is likened unto a biting bitch, which its owner holds by a chain, and although it is tied up, it seizes a man by his garments in the street. She caught him by his garments, saying, Lie with me. Now whoso pleaseth God shall escape from her. Now, what happened here? What happened? What does all this mean? This is a picture of you and I. Even though we are a child of the harlot, should we read the Buckner chapter to be sons of the sorceress and the harlot? Even though that transpires, because of what the mystery of God is, i.e. Christ in you, the hope of glory, then we become part of the promise. The promises go not to the seeds as of many, but to the one seed, which is Christ. So this is the great example of the grace of God. Because if you look at the genealogies of how Messiah came, then the child of Tamar was... What? Any? You understand?
Not really fully. It was kind of amazing, actually.
We studied this in great detail many, many years ago.
I could have lied.
Huh?
I could have lied and said I understood.
Let's go to Romans 9 and see it again in a different picture. Remember, the picture here is this: the guy, well, the youngest, stuck out his hand of her womb and got the ribbon tied around it. In the same way, I mean, this is again, it's all a parable. So even though, I mean, everything is about twins in the Bible. Cain and Abel are twins. Jacob and Esau are twins. Everybody's a twin. And so the idea then, it's always that there's apparently an elder, which is you. But the mystery is that in the mystery of God, the firstborn, I mean the one that the promises do had snuck up on you. He tricked you. He mocked you. Now the great picture of this is Jacob and Esau. So we're going to go. Let's go to Romans. I said Romans 9.
Of the scarlet thread is
huh?
The symbolism of the scarlet thread twice with younger sons and once with the redemption of a whore.
Right, and the whore was, and remember Jericho. She saved her and her family by letting down the scarlet thread out of the wall of Jericho, and she was a whore. Now, if you believe anything, I mean, it doesn't say directly in the scripture, but it's implied. That became Joshua's wife. So the whole everything, and as we go through the scriptures, we see that even our screw-ups, God is using to bring forth his promise, to bring forth the mystery that's been hid from all generations. Now here we have, now we're at, you can go back and study this on your own about Jacob and Esau, because it's critical. But what? Let's read what Paul says about it. And he's talking about in verse 5, he said, "Whose are Israelites, who are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God bless forever, amen. Not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel, which are of Israel, neither, because they are the seed of Abraham, are they all legitimate children. But in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. For this is the word of promise. At this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having not done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. And as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Now, Jacob... What happened even to Jacob? Jacob was transformed when he saw the face of God, and he was no more Jacob. He was now Israel, she who sees God. But the Esau, which is always the type of the flesh, is always, it's always condemned. Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Esau, Edom are all the same thing. I mean, they're all the child in the types, they're all of the flesh. And the same in you. You after the flesh are Edom or Esau. Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. God, that's why I say that, you know, well, God loves the human race. No, he doesn't. You don't even see the human race until there's a new birth. What? You look troubled again. Is this like new to you?
Yeah, I'm just hearing stuff all kinds of ways.
Well, what?
But I don't have any responses.
Okay. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will, he hardeneth. Now, you can watch it happen. It happens all around us. The same story. Now, hardeneth doesn't mean, oh, they're good. That means I'm going to go be a something. You know, it just means that you're no longer a child of the promise. Because you've gone after the whore.
Can you go in and out?
Of course.
Because I've hardened and I've thought, you know what I mean?
Of course. He that has begun a good work is faithful to complete it. It may not look like it. The song that John wrote about the arrow, you know, he shoots an arrow, it looks like it's the opposite way that it's supposed to go, but his... whom he calleth, he is called, no matter what it looks like, where that arrow is shot. And it always hits the target. It always hits the exact center of the bullseye. There's an inertial guidance system within each of us that if we get out of the way, then it's sure. It's as sure as, no, more sure than anything we can conceive of.
This brings up message about today, if you will.
Harden not your hearts.
Today, it's always today, and it's all you can always get back in.
Right.
Speak foolishly.
And it's always this is why it's not him that willeth, or him that runneth, or him that worketh, or him that trieth, or him that doeth anything, except repent.
Until it's not today.
Until it's no longer today. Today, well, it's still called today. Well, if it's not called today, what is it called? It's called eternity. Redeem the time, for all the days are evil. You redeem the time by seeing that you're in eternity. The gift of God is eternal life. That's why you always have the capacity to come back to eternity. But we think our language has made eternity to mean a long, long time, and therefore if I'm really a good boy, I'm going to live for a long... I don't want to live for a long, long time in this body of sin and death. That's crap. Oh, I'll see my little blah, blah, blah. No, you won't. But we're just... Remember, this is about what it means when it talks about this woman. This is a trap greater than death. There, in verse 18, therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will, he hardeneth. Thou wilt say then unto me, why does he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest or argues with God? Shall a thing made or the thing formed say to him that formed it, why have you made me thus? And this is the plaintive cry that every time you complain or judge, oh, why have you made me like this? Oh, poor me. This is why comparing is stupid. Why can't I be like that? Why can't I have what they have? Oh. Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he hath had before prepared unto glory, even us whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. As he saith in Hosea, I will call them my people, which were not my people, and her beloved, which was not beloved. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto thee, you are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. And Isaiah crieth also concerning Israel, though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, only a remnant shall be saved. For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. As Isaiah said before, except the Lord of the Sabaoth, it left us a seed. We had been as Sodom and been made like unto Gomorrah. If it wasn't for the seed of Christ in us, the hope of glory, we're toast. Until you see that it's not of what you do or what you don't do, you've got to acknowledge that you're a child of the whore. That everything you've done your entire life, you've been trying to make yourself acceptable to the one who has the right of first redemption, the God of this world. And you, but it doesn't matter if you do it in Jesus' name or in Allah's name or in Bruce's name. Remember, the religion that is going on inside you as the temple of God is the antithesis of the godly religion. And so you have to see that. And that's all you've done so far in your life, is to see that what you've been worshiping and what you've been sacrificing to and what you've been tithing to and what you've been working for and all the other praying to, you've been praying to the wrong God, the instead of Christ. And until that's seen in you, there's no hope, because you're just doing self-realization in the name of God. You've forgotten the curse. And this is why. Again, let me read these. And I'll quit, because this will take forever. I find more bitter than a thousand, and I find more bitter than death is the woman. There are 14 things which are stronger than one the other. Each one is dominated by the next. An ocean is deep. The deep ocean is strong, but the earth dominates it. The earth is strong, but the mountain stronger. The mountain is strong, but iron dominates and breaks it. Iron is strong, but fire melts it. Fire is strong, but water dominates it. Water is strong, but clouds carry it. Clouds are strong, but wind disperses it. Wind is strong, but a wall withstands it. A wall is strong, but a man demolishes it. Man is strong, but trouble weakens. Trouble is strong, but wine causes it to be forgotten. Wine is strong, but sleep dominates. Sleep is strong, but illness prevents it. Illness is strong, but the angel of death dominates. Worse than all these is the unrepentant woman, because she is the whore of Babylon sitting on the seven mountains of your mind. It gets better in terms of examples. What?
I'm glad to hear that.
Can you see how easy the seduction is? How easily you're seduced away from total dependence? A little flicker, a little shiny thing, a little self-doubt. Back to the arm of the flesh. Jumped off the mercy seat onto the judgment seat. Anybody understand this woman a little better? And then when the scripture, the New Testament says, come out of her, my people. Touch not the unclean thing. This is what it's talking about. It's the world of cause and effect. Only two left, the bride and the whore. Vessel of wrath, vessel of mercy. Glenn?
It's powerful.
So how often have you committed whoredoms yesterday or this morning already? That'll answer your question about how you can go back and forth. That's what it means. You're carried about by every wind and doctrine and the sleight of men, where they lie in wait to deceive, because you keep going back and forth, back and forth. Why? Well, because I forgot. You got to admit, you didn't forget. You didn't repent. Repentance isn't sorrowful, it's joyful.
But I think how why cause and effect is so desirable. Because I can be right.
Yeah, you can be.
Another shot at being right.
It's pleasing. It's the same thing that Eve was tempted with, and the same thing that Christ denied. To make one wise, you can then know how, you don't have to be in that childlike dependence. You don't have to have faith. What you've got to see is that everything you've learned how to do since your moment of self-awareness was a how-to, cause and effect. So spirituality isn't learning anything, it's unlearning everything. It's not hard. It shouldn't be hard for this group to see that they unlearn it. I mean, there's a couple of you that might be called reasonably okay, successful, a couple of us, but not me. But, every once in a while you can do something right. But for most of us, we can do nothing right. We should know by now, my God, we are the blessed one. But your mind will constantly take you, oh, I'm going to do it right this time. Nobody has any response.
All right, take a big guy.
Thank you.